though there's a bigger interval between episodes 3 and 4.
I was like, is the podcast making that noise now? Even it wants us to quit.
Sorry, no, that was my phone.
Was that a text message or?
No, it was a calendar alert.
I was like, wow. GarageBand sounds different when it loads up now. All the hilariousness aside, I'm Tosh Moore.
I'm Olivia Palais.
And welcome to this, the 323rd episode of the Verbal Mosh, a comic book podcast where we talk about comics, comic book movies, TV shows, and stuff, but mostly comics and TV.
And stuff.
Mainly TV, because we just want to talk about The Flash.
What do you mean? We're not even talking about The Flash today. Are we talking about The Flash?
No, but we will when it's back, baby. So suck it, Arrow. So the first bit that we want to get into is to let you know that you can go to our website, theverbalmosh.com, to hear previous episodes as well as interviews. And read written reviews that we write with our fingers and put on the internet for you to read. You can also drop us an email at theverbalmosh@gmail.com, along with following us on Twitter as well. At theverbalmosh is our handle on Twitter. You can also check out our sponsors, the Comics Podcast Network, to which we are proud members of, reluctantly, comicspodcast.com. And I think that's the opening spiel, because I haven't done it in so long. Is that really it?
So much snark in your spiel.
There it is.
Just like in your posts that you add to the website. So much snark in it.
Yes, it's just like Wizard Magazine, but with more typos. So many typos. Which I think give them character and make them funny and not make me lazy at all. Cough.
That's just an excuse.
Well, you know, an excuse spelled backwards is...
Is what?
Putin? I was thinking about Vladimir Putin. What are we talking about?
Is there a P in there at all?
It's silent.
Excuse?
Please, Mr. Putin. Excuse? Well, that'll be over soon. Hashtag inside joke. I have a condition that makes my mouth 10 times more moist than normal humans.
Well, you're just turning this podcast into something really, really strange right now. We just go back to talking about comic books?
I have a condition. I'm like Mr.
Nobody
Glass.
Nobody wants to know. I'm like That's too much information.
Like Mr. Glass from Unbreakable. Like if I fall down or if I don't drool enough. Wait, I'm sure there's the opposite version of me out there. Someone who's like, they have a condition like, my mouth doesn't make any moisture or saliva.
Yeah, people have that. They have dry mouth. That's why they have those products. You ever seen those commercials on TV?
When you said that, I thought of the product, like the one for their tears, like to help them get tears.
Yeah, that too. Like they have dry eyes, dry mouth. Dry mouth is bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it makes your breath all funky.
Yeah, gingivitis and no good.
Oh, yeah, you mean the dreaded gum disease. Oof. Anyway. Speaking of comics, the first bit of news that we can jump into is the comics news this week. And it's something that's been all over the internet because people have been talking about it with the internet. And Bleeding Cool reported it a while back. But we're also bringing it to you, too, for discussion purposes. Kevin Feige no longer reports to Isaac Perlmutter at Marvel. He reports to Disney chief Alan Horn as this moves Feige away from having to deal with the Marvel Creative Committee. Oh, I can't believe I said that. Which has already been disbanded. And it looks like it's a back-and-forth type deal.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Perlmutter was like, well, I kind of like Terrence Howard in Iron Man, where he was Rhodey. And then they were like, well, we got Don Cheadle, because Isaac Perlmutter like, oh, black people look the same. Which, they're totally two different characters. Well, two different actors. That was a big jarring thing. Like, if you saw Iron Man, and you went to go see the next Iron Man, you're like, man... War Machine's looking weird here.
Yeah, but to be honest, I actually forgot about the first one. So
that's
I didn't
what they want
remember
you to do. Yes.
Who the actor was.
That's okay. But more so for the fact that now it just... I don't know, Perlmutter was a guy who... Even though he's a billionaire now, he's he was instrumental in taking Marvel out of the bankruptcy zone when they filed for bankruptcy way back in like 97. He was part of Toy Biz. That company's not even around anymore. Did you ever own any Toy Biz toys?
I don't know.
Never?
I don't know. What did they produce?
I don't know. Toys that were from Toy Biz? They're like Marvel. They're like basically like Marvel toys.
You're not helping at all.
But for whatever reason, Feige just didn't care to interact with this guy, as he's known for being a big skinflint. So now he's like, I can just report to the guy at Disney. Although there were, even though the creative committee that consisted of Bendis, Quesada, Dan Buckley, and Alan Fine has been disbanded. They did talk about how some movies benefited from having that creative committee from the comics come over. Like, they were like, oh, They had a lot of input in The Avengers, and how great was that? And one of the movies that they didn't have a lot of input in that didn't seem to cut the mustard was Iron Man 2, because Iron Man 2 did poorly. And they didn't have a lot of say-so in Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, which, you know, apparently Disney has considered it a flop because it didn't make as much.
In my eyes.
Yeah, they were like, it wasn't as good as Avengers. People didn't go back to the theaters. Like, you know what? Avengers was so good, I want to see it again. Because I did see Avengers more than once in the theaters. I knew a lot of people who were excited about that film.
Yeah.
And we both said it at Age of Ultron, when we left the theater, we were like, oh, so it ended.
Yeah.
Gets in car and drives home. So I don't know. A lot of people were shitting on the creative committee because I don't know. Joe Quesada, as the chief creative officer, I think he understands those characters a lot, especially from his time as being editor-in-chief of Marvel for, like, what was it, 10 years, I think? Mm-hmm. Or more than that he was on top. So you kind of got a sense, even from when he was doing the Marvel Knights stuff, that he had a real fine sense of these characters.
Yeah.
Bill Jamis, not so much, which is why he's gone.
I think it's always good. You want to get people who are familiar with the characters, but I guess in another aspect you want to look at it is they want to get fresh eyes and a fresh approach to the same characters.
Oh, yeah, because Mickey Rourke was terrible in Iron Man 2. It's true. Iron Man 3 wasn't that great either.
Okay.
So where does this leave Marvel films as it moves forward? Forward. Forward.
Well,
I guess if it flops, you can only blame one man. You know, you can't be like, well, this guy, well, you know, Kevin Feige can't turn around like, well, you know, Isaac's got me over the gun with all his creative changes. It's his fault. When you have complete creative control, you can take the successes, but you kind of got to find a way to also, like, maneuver. Well, we screwed up.
You mean you still got to find a way to blame someone else?
I guess what I'm really trying to say is you got to eat that when you screw up. Like, well, that's all on me.
You made it seem like, oh, well, got to find some other scapegoat around here.
That doesn't mean he won't try. But I don't know, he's been a pretty good executive producer so far. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the majority of the Marvel films have been pretty good. Yeah. And some of the television shows. I'm not including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that's just... ugh. But Daredevil's fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you for all your input.
You're welcome.
Eh. Oh god, can we talk about fucking DC? And their Dark Knight 3 Master Race, and they're like, by Frank Miller. But he's like, don't worry, he's not writing or drawing it. We've got other people to do that. So why the fuck are you putting his name on this book? This is the last thing the industry needs. It's Frank Miller and another Batman fucking title. Have they forgotten about Batman and All-Star Batman and Robin? Yes, they clearly have.
We talked about this before. You actually brought this up, like, a couple of episodes back.
I also tweeted about it, too. Because they're like, yeah, we got Scott Snyder to write it, but it's Frank Miller's Batman.
But did you want to say something else about it?
Yeah, does no one remember I'm the goddamn Batman?
Of course people remember that. They like that. They like putting that in memes, no?
That doesn't mean it didn't translate into anything that was positive about the industry.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit. Sales are down. Guess what? Time to go back to Frank Miller, who hasn't been that great since Batman Year One. Wait, no, I take it back. Man Without Fear. That was in 1995.
Well, what do you want? The people in charge are fans of his work, so they want to give him... more work.
That's right, and go back to the fans who've already left and who won't be there to buy these books. Wait, no, I take it back. Yet again, the fucking retailers will buy this book, but they won't reach into the hands of comic book fans because the fucking retailers are the only ones buying this book, and they'll wind up in dollar bins and they'll get left with product that they have to return.
You're talking about the retailers, but I'm talking about the people in charge of you know, hiring the writers and artists and stuff like that. You know, the publishers and everybody else. You know,
it seems
these are the guys who are giving the paychecks to these guys to create these stories, put their names on the books.
I feel like
because they're the fans, and they think, you know.
That's true.
They like to see more work from this person or that person.
Yeah, we'll call it DC's folly. Because now the more and more I look at it, Jim Lee was never that great as an artist or a storyteller.
People liked him a lot in the 90s.
They like
here.
Hey. They also kind of like Rob Liefeld back in the 90s, before people realized, holy shit, the fat. Rob Liefeld, along with Jim Lee and all those Image guys, created a very nice little zeitgeist in the 90s. And what did they do? They did more harm to the industry.
And what did they do? They rode their fame to the moon.
To the moon, and drove away millions of fans in the process, thereby crippling the industry, bankrupting Marvel.
You said Jim Lee drove away a lot of fans? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, with late shipping books and number ones from fucking Wildstorm? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like that.
Yeah.
They burst a bubble in the 90s with that collector's market, and we never really recovered from it. Well, I don't say me. I don't work in the comic industry. I do this for love, which I lose a lot of money at. But there was a big bubble. It burst, and those fans just didn't come back. It's like professional wrestling, to an extent. The character's less the stable. There's no bringing it back. It's just going to continue to decline. And no amount of, I don't think amount of digital comics is going to help it. Not from the big superhero ones. They're too conducive, and they're too big. You know, you get a spurt because, like, oh, there's a Batman movie. People are slightly interested in Batman comics. But there's never been a time where there have been a lot of fans who, I used to read comics. I don't need more, but I know these characters.
Not since maybe when the characters were first originally introduced. No?
I'll go back. No, I mean, because, they sold a lot of comics in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you know, books selling 400,000 copies a month. And these are, like, lower-tier titles. I'm not talking about Detective Comics or Batman. But it's just been a sharp decline. And you going back to, well, we got Frank Miller here, and he was pretty big in the 80s and really hadn't done anything after that. And really hasn't produced anything of quality for such a long time. Let's go back to that, because that's what the retailer's like. They're not worried about getting new fans. They're worried about a very short-term, we've sold this book to the retailers through Diamond Distributors, the end. Don't you think it's a little short-sighted? That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's a very short-sighted attempt to, we've boosted some sales for a little while. No long-term sustained growth.
Well, what are you looking for in terms of long-term sustained growth, then? Investing in new characters? What are you looking for?
New creators? And new talent. Yeah, we'll help get that across to a broader market. I think, look at Batgirl, even though I'm not a fan of Batgirl, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can relate to that title, and will be like, well, hey, it's...
But what about holding on to the readers who like the current titles and who like the classics?
There ought to be books for those people, and there ought to be books... There's got to be something for everybody. There's got to be a nice hodgepodge, I feel like, and when you just cater to one
group... Isn't that kind of what they do? But you can't look to just, like, DC, because they do cater to... To, you know, those certain titles and those certain characters. You have to look towards, like, other companies, like Image or something, if you want the creator-owned stuff.
Or something different. I feel like Image has become nothing. Even though there was a time, it feels like where Image used to be,
Image,
hey, I'm a creator.
Press, Dark Horse.
Image, Oni Press, and Image especially. Yeah. It used to be a place where people could go and be like, well... We've got this idea, and Chu is a perfect example of it. The Big Two isn't going to touch it. We've got this idea for this little story that could, and Chu is a perfect example of that. It's fantastic. It's creator-owned. It's not your standard superhero fare. It's all-out goofy, but I love it. It feels like now, where Image Comics used to be the place where guys would go to, you know, I guess, spread their creative wings, guys like Grant Morrison, Mark Millar, they go there as a cash grab. They don't have to give any of their fucking rights to Marvel. They can make all of this money. Stories may not be necessarily good or bad.
You're making it sound, like, awful, like, as a cash grab. You know,
some of those guys
are trying to earn a living, though. And you're not always going to be able to do that when you're working for, like, DC or Marvel, when they take most of the rights and stuff like that.
Most of the rights? You mean all the rights?
All the rights, you get, like, pennies afterwards, some crumbs.
When you said that, I imagine Dan DiDio eating crumbs in an apartment, like... I mean, there's two sides to that story. Of course, like you said, you're a creator and Marvel owns it. Well, some of those guys, they're being paid well. It's primarily the writers now. It used to be the artists. Remember the 90s? It was artists were paid well and the writer will F you because you're secondary. They've reversed the trend where the writer gets the book over. So, but we've never had less people making a full-time living in comics, it feels like. Because we've got John Romita Jr. drawing every book.
So he's the only person, like, fully employed?
Well, shit, that's why they raised the price of Superman to $3.99, because his page rate is so high, and he ain't taking a pay cut, which I don't blame him for.
Yeah, gotta earn a living.
But you gotta be the editor, you gotta be smart. Is it really worth it to put John Romita Jr. on Superman? When sales figures will spike, then drop, but we still have to take the hit on this. You get what I mean? It's a very weird time to be involved in comics, I think.
Yeah. I understand what you're trying to say.
Great. I'm sure someone, if you have any comments or feedback, theverbalmouse@gmail.com is where you want to see your emails, where they'll be promptly deleted by me.
Yeah, because you're a jerk.
Yeah, I don't like criticism. Like the president. Oh, I don't know, mommy. Here's hoping that the next Avengers movie is good. Because fucking Age of Ultron was just like, yo, some stuff happened in a fictional country. Yup. At least in Man of Steel, they were like, boom, you're dead. Take that, Wayne Corp. Want to talk about some comics this week?
Yes, finally.
I spent 15 minutes ranting about the industry. Please don't go away, industry. I need you to make fun of. Prez, number 3.
Not a lot happened in this issue, so I wasn't crazy about it.
There was a lot that happened.
The president chose her cabinet. That's all that happened.
Beth Ross became president. Finally, she's no longer president-elect.
She got sworn in.
On a digital Bible, no less.
And her grandma sent her a present of a sexy frog.
The company Sexy Frog was very interesting because the one kid that's working there, he got injured and he was like, oh, I'm hurt.
No, that wasn't... Yeah. The company was called, Smiley...
Smiley Corporation, but they sold... They were shipping everything and the Sexy Frog was one of them and the kid
Smiley Enterprises.
Smiley Enterprises. And the kid that got hurt, it was just funny that he was like, they're like, oh, you seem hurt. Go see the company doctor. And the doctor's like on his phone. Yeah, you're fine. Go back to work.
Yeah, it doesn't even take a look at him. Because, I mean, that company is crazy to work for. They time you on everything. They time you how fast you're loading your product and how much they weigh.
Your poo.
On how much time you spend in the lavatory. You only get like a minute and some change.
Yeah, you get 90 seconds. Like, yeah, well, you're in the bathroom for 91 seconds. But he's like, I had to go number 2. Oh, that would have been fine. But... You know, it waited
90 seconds over.
Yeah. But when you use it, like, he's like, oh, but I had to go number 2. No, it was less than 13 grams in the bowl. That's a lie. I'm going to let you go, Raul.
That wasn't his name.
I know, but it just... Raul suits him so much better.
But that was crazy. Can you imagine working for a company like that?
Yeah, I kind of do now.
Yeah.
What do you mean you want to take a break? Hey. But when someone asks them about it, like, oh, you worked 6 hours while taking a break? That's legal in New Jersey. And we encourage them to take breaks. And then they wipe the sweat from their brows.
And then you also had some really crazy debate going on in this book where they were talking about farmers having sex with their pigs.
The Discretionary Pork Bill Act. Yeah. Basically, it says that what's not read in the fine print of the bill, that they're allowed to build farms wherever they please. And... Also, there's a provision that says you can't have sex, that farmers can't have sex with their pigs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's totally like the only thing that the other guy wanted to focus on. He's like, so, you mean you want to have sex with your pigs, eh? And he's like, that's not what I'm trying to say.
I'm going
to
vote against this bill. It made me think of a moment a while back, something like just the utter stupidity of politics sometimes.
Yeah.
Going back, I just want to clear a story. Back in 2002, when George W. Bush was at the height of his powers and every Democrat hated him.
The height of his power.
That's when George W. Bush is most popular.
You make him sound like a villain or something.
Well, he could be. He's like Two-Face. I can imagine him like getting burned looking for Laura Bush. Aura! You killed her, Batman. Wait, you killed her, Batman? But anyway, George W. Bush is at the height of his popularity, not power, sorry. And there was a Senate race in Georgia, and the incumbent senator was a Democrat, Max Cleland. And his opponent, Republican, was like, oh, he voted against the Iraq War Resolution. He's un-American. He doesn't support the troops. He doesn't have America's best interest in mind. Meanwhile, this Democratic Senator, Max Cleland, is in a fucking wheelchair, and he left 2 legs and an arm in Vietnam. How do you call a man like that un-American? You know, does it make any sense?
It
no. This guy, he gets around a wheelchair, and he's got his left arm.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell this guy that somehow he's not American? Where were you during Vietnam? Fuck you, Saxby Chambliss. Fuck you.
It's because people like picking apart other people. You know,
exactly.
One tiny little flaw and they explode it into this huge thing.
Exactly. Saxby Chambliss went on to win that race, which is just shows you how disgusting Georgia voters are. Mm-hmm. That's a damn shame, too. Mm-hmm. I'm also a little ashamed of George W. Bush for campaigning against Matt Cleland.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
So.
Back to Prez.
Beth is the president now, and she's assembling the cabinet, and she gets that one guy, I forget what his name was, the professor.
She gets the really interesting picks for her cabinet, because she's not tied to any
political parties. Or favors, because that's what the cabinet normally consists of.
Of your buddies, your old buddies who never really had a job. They're like,
enemies.
The guy in charge of transportation who never rode a bus.
Yes. And they do that in the Obama administration, the guy who is the... Agriculture Secretary is a former Iowa governor. Mm-hmm. He also ran against Obama in the primaries. He was a Democratic presidential candidate. And I guess Obama was like, well, this guy, he's from Iowa. I guess he knows about corn or something. Want to be Agriculture Secretary? He's like, sweet. I don't even eat corn. I don't know if he said that. But
You're just making up stuff. You don't even know if it's true.
Fine. I don't even like corn. I hate the sight of it.
We don't know that's true.
Oh, satire. There we go. Got rid of that. Clear that up nicely. So it looks like they may be trying to assassinate the president now.
Well, yeah. Especially, I mean, President it's Ross. Crazy because you have that one guy at the very beginning of the issue who tries to take out a life insurance policy on her.
Yeah, and if you make it through the 4 years, I'll just give you the money. Like, and, no.
If you don't, you know, you don't need that money. Like, obviously he's going to try and kill her. Like, you would be dumb to try and agree to that.
At least she has a Secret Service protecting her.
There's a really weird scene then where it looks like, you know, she's being sworn into office and someone attempts to assassinate her. The Secret Service are able to duck her out of the way, but in the next panel, she's, like, on the ground, and you see, like, blood everywhere, it looks like.
That came from the gentleman who had the gun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the guy who raised the gun.
It was, like, confusing. Like, I couldn't quite understand. I'm like, it looked like her in her green outfit, and her green and pink outfit. So that's why I was like,
that was the gentleman
who's being shot? Like,
yeah, that was the gentleman who pulled the rifle, actually.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now, and...
That's what I was confused about.
Yeah. There's the president right there.
Oh, I see.
It was a gentleman who pulled the rifle that they can't take their guns away from because they're allowed to have guns in the future still.
Yeah.
Wow. Can we point out that one thing, because of the $2 million that DC lost with the move from New York to California and them losing 90 employees and the sales being as flat, and that's why they're going back to sucking on the Frank Miller teat. Prez was cut. It was originally a 12-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
They cut it to 6. Yeah. So that's why you may see like a weird... I guess we'll see like a hodgepodge of like storylines just like, well, we thought
super
we had
condensed.
A year. Yeah, we had a year to tell the story. Now it's really 6. Holy crap. I would have liked it to see it go 12 issues.
Yeah.
To play out completely, but whatever. I guess we'll take what we can get. Especially in an era where they publish 35 Batman titles.
Exactly.
Batman goes...
They should cut down some of those Batman titles and do the 12 issues of Prez.
Gotham Academy, anyone? Cough. You don't need 3 Superman titles, goddammit. Thief of Thieves number 30 from Image Comics. I enjoyed this.
This was all right. Yeah.
Cassilia now, they're trying to get her to plead to being Redmond.
Well, yeah, in the last issue, you saw Celia's cellmate was trying to kill her.
Yes.
But Celia was able to turn it around and attack the woman who's attacking her.
And broke her nose really badly, too. Mm. I applaud. Mm.
So, yeah, it looks like she's going to take a deal and plead guilty towards all the... Redmond cases, because otherwise the guys are like threatening to harm her son, put him in an institution.
Well, thankfully the real Redmond shows up with a bad mustache to the federal correction facility. He's like, don't worry, I've got a plan to get you out of here, don't sweat it. So when she gets to court, she doesn't have a lawyer or anything, and she's like, she tells the FBI, I'm gonna plead guilty, and then when they get there, she's like, not guilty.
Yeah,
so
and they're all like, damn it. What's going to happen next is Conrad Paulson comes in as her witness.
Can we talk about Redmond also stealing the photos from...
The artwork.
The artwork, yes. The photo... I keep saying photos, I'm sorry.
The artwork from the Venice job.
Yes, he's got all that in his possession as well, too.
Who the mob guys, they were all like, yes, these were off the books, so nobody knows about it. Safe and sound. Yet, obviously, Redmond had gotten to it first.
Is it me? It doesn't seem like it's okay that Thief of Thieves is being a little late every month. Or every other month.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm so glad that Celia is done being Redmond and
Carl. Air quotes, Redmond. Because she was just terrible at it.
She was.
She's like, my first job, I'm caught.
Yeah.
She's almost as bad as Augustus.
Augustus, oh my God.
I was thinking just as bad as Redmond's son Augustus, who was like, my daddy taught me everything. Woo! Oh, man.
There can only be one Redmond.
It's just like on The Simpsons where Homer was like, yeah, I committed the perfect crime. Marge, I have to be in court next Tuesday. Like, oh, you just suck. Isn't Augustus going to school or something now? Trying to be normal?
I think so. Trying to be a good boy.
Good for him. All right. Last issue we're going to talk about, Superman number 43.
I really dislike Lois Lane in this book. I hate
her. Oh, you don't
so
like bitchy
much.
Lois?
Oh my God, because
she's
like,
high and mighty now.
No, she's such a flip-flopper. Because in the last issue, remember like when the whole Superman's identity was revealed to her, she was freaking out. She was like, oh, I can't believe you. Why didn't you tell me? She was so upset. And then all of a sudden, she starts following him around to visit Horde. And
oh,
next
yeah.
thing you know,
no, before
here
that,
they
when
are
he wakes up.
In bed with each other. Like,
yeah.
And she's like, walking around like, everything's
no,
okay. She's
she was like,
we're friends.
Want some lean cuisine? I was like, oh, she can't cook. Goober. At least it's made reference to Superman banging it out with Wonder Woman. because they're together now. But you couldn't tell by reading this book.
But it's absolutely, I hated Lois Lane. Like, seriously. She's acting all friendly.
The ending.
And then, yeah,
well, I freed you, Superman, by screwing you over. Yeah, no. Horrible. Oh. Horde was going to reveal, they wanted Superman to do whatever they told him to do, or else they'll reveal that Clark Kent and Superman is one and the same. And then Lois just uploads the information to the internet everywhere. She's like, I did it. I freed you. I did a good thing. Like, no.
He's like, damn it, woman. It's all your fault. And he flies away.
But she saw him naked.
No, what, was that some consolation or something?
I guess, I don't know. Jimmy too, because he was like,
that she saw him naked.
Because Jimmy's like, we're all adults here. I look too. Everybody looked at Superman super junk.
Yeah, Jimmy was trying to be like, oh, it was no big deal. Not like, yeah, we saw it.
Oh, that would have been better if you said that in the comment. Hey, Supes, we saw it, and what a man.
Oh, isn't that pretty much what the other girl said?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She was like, you're pretty human.
Yeah, I was like, you mean black?
Whoa,
I like how, like,
hair.
I like how, like, eventually, like, I said that, like, it was like, arrah! It just stopped, like, you don't get to make that joke. And hilariously enough, I actually do get to make that joke. So fuck you. So that was it. Superman's identity is revealed, and he was like, I should slap you, ho. But he doesn't, because Superman doesn't hate women, and DC still won't allow it. It's like Paul Levitz is in charge of this company still.
So, why would they allow Superman to hit a woman?
They can't. Superman's a PG book. For kids, teens.
You're making it sound like you want him to slap Lois.
Well, for that instance, I did kind of want him to be like, Lois, what's wrong with you? But his superhuman strength would crush her.
Yeah, you're stuck in the 50s.
But, you know what? Just for that, I'm going to go inside the icebox and get me some ice cream. Mm. Isn't that right, Alice? Mm. Yeah.
To the moon.
Woo. So, that's it for this week's episode of the Verbal Mosh. I'm sure we'll be back in a week or two, and we'll be lamenting the end of the comic book industry. I'm kidding. We'll just publish more Batman titles.
We're going to start publishing Batman titles?
Hell yeah, we need to get on this train. Marentab, he's back, y'all, with a new number one. Watch him get his driver's license. Wait, we'll watch him get his permit to get his driver's license. Shit, Venice can stretch out a story of Spider-Man getting bit by that spider. Sure, we can stretch this shit out. He'll keep failing and have to do it again. Marentab gets a digital TV antenna. Which one will he get?
What brand?
Oh, that's even better. I was say ACR, because I couldn't say RCA, I say it backwards. Sony, Magnet Box, Sorbet. Just go to theverbalmosh.com and you can find the links to our website. Well, damn it, theverbalmosh.com is a website. You can find links to Facebook and Twitter, as well as our sponsors, along with some other things, past episodes and interviews. So, for Olivia Pelias, I'm Tosh Moore saying, buy American comics. Or buy some of the Japanese ones, the mangas. Those are good too. Yeah, Mobius. And Vikes. People who buy Vikes comics. That's awesome too. Your aspirations are a waste of time.